Chapter 8. In those days, when the multitude was very great and had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away, fasting, to their own houses, they will lose strength on the way. For some of them came from far away. So again, we see that Jesus had a lot of compassion for people. He loves us. And his disciples answered him, from where can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Jesus, where do you expect us to get a bunch of food for all these people? And he asked them, how many loaves do you had? And they said, 7. Doesn't this sound familiar? And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the people, and they had a few small fish, and he blessed them, and also commanded them to be set before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 baskets of the broken food that was left, and those who had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away, and immediately he entered into a ship with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. So again, he had fed 5,000. Not too long before. Well, the 5,000 was plus women and children. Now, here it doesn't say just 4,000 men. So, I don't know if the grand total was 4,000. Maybe another account tells us. I can't remember. But anyway, thousands of people he fed miraculously with very few loaves of bread and a few small fish. Obviously, supernatural acts. And the Pharisees came forth, of course, and began to question with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him, of course, because that's what the Pharisees did. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek after a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them and, entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. The reason he's so disgusted, basically, is because he had just done this huge sign. He had just fed 4,000 people supernaturally, and yet the Pharisees came up to him and go, well, we want to see a sign. Prove that you're the Son of God. Show us a sign. Did you just not just see what I just did? And maybe the Pharisees hadn't seen that particular miracle, but they had seen plenty of supernatural acts from Jesus already. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, nor did they have more than 1 loaf in the ship with them. And he charged them, saying, be careful, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Again, Jesus takes any opportunity he can for a teaching moment. He's not getting on to them about bread. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive yet or understand? Are your hearts still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. And when I broke the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. And he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? So, yeah, the poor apostles, you know, we kind of get onto them because we're thinking, like, how can you not get it? But we have to remember, this is all new to them. I mean, yeah, they had the Old Testament and they had all the prophecies of the Messiah coming. But I just don't think most people thought it was in the way that it actually happened. Even though the Old Testament said that he was going to be, you know, a lowly man. And he wasn't going to be anything special to look on or anything like that. People kind of hype things up in their mind. So they're still not quite understanding. But they're going to get it. And he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, gross, and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything.
And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. So he wasn't quite seeing clearly yet. And after he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Do not go into the town or tell it to anyone in the town. Now, for a long time, this particular miracle kind of confused me, because when Jesus performed a miracle, it was instant. It was immediate. It was instant. It wasn't like, well, I'm a little bit better, but I'm not quite there. You know, and in this case, it almost seems like Jesus had trouble healing him. Like, okay, I tried to get you your sight back, but you don't quite have it back. Let me try again. And I never understood that. But somebody brought to my attention, and I think it's a pretty good explanation, is, again, this is a teaching opportunity. And maybe just for us today, because he told the man not to tell anyone. But we have this story today in our Bibles. I think it's sort of an allegory where... you know, like his apostles, he didn't understand. Why do you still not understand? Why do you still not see? Because it takes people time. You know, they might not understand everything right away. It takes time, and they understand little by little. And this may be the point that Jesus is trying to make. It's like, okay, you don't quite see it clearly yet. But look up to God, keep focused on God, study and learn, and then you will see clearly. It takes a little time for people to understand. It takes a little time for people to see the truth clearly. I think that's a good explanation. If anybody has any other ideas, let me know. And Jesus and his disciples went out into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, saying to them, Who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said to him, You are the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man about him yet. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, and by the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spoke that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Oh, you know Peter, always the first one to pipe up, always the one to put his foot in his mouth. Let's see. And when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. So he turned around and rebuked Peter right back, saying, Get behind me, Satan, for you appreciate not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. Now, of course, Peter is not literally Satan. Satan's not literally inside of Peter, anything like that. He's just calling him that because Peter is not understanding that this absolutely has to be done. If Jesus was not crucified and buried and raised again the third day, we would all be lost. We would all be lost, all of mankind. So this had to be done. And of course, Peter didn't understand that. And so Jesus rebukes him and says, Look, you do not know what you're talking about, Peter. This is God's will. You're more concerned about, you know, my physical life here on this earth, when you have to be looking at the big picture. And when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, Whoever wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But whoever wants to save his life shall lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So if we want to become Christians, we have to commit. And I mean, we have to commit all the way. Even to the point of giving our lives if necessary. And we also have to focus more on God than ourselves. If all we care about is our lives here on this earth, and that's our priority, and that's all we focus on, we're going to end up being lost. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? A soul is so valuable. That's why we as Christians are supposed to try to teach others around us. Most people are going to reject us. You know, don't believe in God. Don't believe in the Bible. Take your religion. Go away. Don't care. But we have to try, because every soul is valuable. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Therefore, whoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man shall also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We have to be careful. If we reject Jesus, if we deny him in any way, shape, or form, he's going to deny us before his Father in heaven, and we won't make it. So we got to be very careful. This is a serious warning from Jesus. Commit fully to me, even to the point of losing your life if necessary, and you will have a home in heaven. And that is Mark chapter 8.